It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson, and we've got a great show planned for you today. There's a lot happening out there. I appreciate each and every one of you for joining us. Thank you. Today, you have a purpose. Live with intention. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. We are Americans, and we certainly have a lot of work to do, and one of our listeners has reached out and says, Kim, you say that all the time. What are we going to do exactly? And we're working on that. It is, it's been a little bit of a shock and awe with what has happened since the Biden inauguration. We're not even 60 days into this, are we, Producer Steve?
I don't know what the actual number is, but you know, looking at other barometers, it's... It's breathtaking, but not in a good way.
It is breathtaking and not in a good way. That voice that you hear is Producer Steve. I get to work with a lot of really great people, and that's all my partners, all of you listeners out there. Thank you for contributing to the show to keep our independent voice out there, because it's important and it's going to become even more important as we continue on into this Biden administration and this Polis administration here in Colorado. But thank you to this team. I really am honored to get to work with you. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. And all the recaps and podcasts of our shows are there. And appreciate that as well. We, as you know, we have another program, and that is America's Veteran Stories with Kim Monson, which airs on Sundays 3 to 4 p.m. right here on KLZ 560, as well as KLZ 100.7 FM. And we are going to be talking with a Vietnam veteran, a medic, and actually top secret guys. And he was a medic for the SOG units in Vietnam. And they actually would go over the border. And it's going to be a really terrific interview. So be sure and check that out on Sunday afternoons. These interviews, Steve, truly are changing my life. And as we see, it's just a bit daunting what is happening to our country right now. It's good to know our history of these men and women that have stepped forward all the way from the colonists and the Revolutionary War to stand against tyranny, to the Civil War, World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea, Vietnam, all of these different wars and conflicts that we've been involved in. Americans stand against tyranny, and I take a lot of heart from these stories, Steve.
Well, you use the phrase, they changed my life, and certainly somebody would pop up somewhere and say, well, how could what happen, especially with the World War II vets so long ago, or the Vietnam vets, how could that change your life? Well, it changes your perspective if you'll let the words soak in from these experiences that these people went through. And what did we just talk about? A possible person that you wanted to interview, and we weren't sure we could do it because, well, there's an issue with PTSD. And again, how many people have truly experienced something in their life that would even bring PTSD about?
Yes. Combat is really, it's a terrible thing. Even when your side is victorious, you're standing against tyranny, and you're able to defeat tyranny, it still is, it's something that's seared on these guys' hearts. You know, these guys are in their 90s, and they can talk about their combat experiences, when I'm talking about the World War II guys, like it was yesterday. And once you go through an experience like that, you don't forget it, for sure. And when you talk about changing, I think this was probably really the moment, Steve, where I understood. Now, I haven't really watched the whole combat scene in Saving Private Ryan, where they're storming the beach on D-Day. But my understanding, that's pretty, pretty accurate about what happened.
I think they watched enough of the black and white footage that was actually shot on the beach, and they said, all we're going to do is emulate that. And, you know, people have commented that maybe that sequence in Saving Private Ryan. Thank you. was over the top, and you know they didn't need to do that. No, that's the way it was.
I think it was. I think it pretty much was. And so this is really, I would say, the moment where America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson was born, and that is we got to accompany four D-Day veterans to Normandy. This was in 2016. It was a group with the Denver Police Activities League. And there were four D-Day veterans. Two of them were on Higgins boats, the landing craft on D-Day. And I was standing back behind them. It was Joe Shida and Frank DeVita, and they were standing there looking out into the channel. And one of them was a Higgins boat ramp operator, which, you know, letting the ramp down. And then the other was, Joe was the operator of the Higgins boat. And I was standing right behind them, Steve. And one of them very quietly said to the other, talking about D-Day, June 6, 1944, said, "Do you remember the first day the water was red? It wasn't until the third day that the water turned pink." And it was at that moment I realized that this American spirit, that these young men had gone across the ocean to stand against tyranny and liberate people that they didn't even know, is something very, very special about Americans.
Well, those two individuals, think about what's happening with the Higgins boat coming towards the shore. You're hearing the bullets hit the other side of the ramp, and your only safety is the fact that the ramp is up. You want to be the one that pushes the button and drops that ramp and exposes
the guys
like that. That's incredible.
Yeah. Frank DeVita said that he had to have the order three times, and that was first wave of Omaha. One other thing, did you realize that the Higgins boats, that the only metal part of it was the ramp, that actually the sides were wood?
No, until you listen to Americans Veteran Stories, where are you going to find stuff like
that's
that?
That's exactly right. So anyway, let's go ahead and jump in here. Our quote for today is from C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis was a British writer and lay theologian. He held academic positions in English literature at both Oxford University and Cambridge University. He's best known for his works of fiction, especially the Screwtape Letters, the Chronicles of Narnia, and the Space Trilogy, and for his nonfiction Christian apologetics, such as Mere Christianity, Miracles, and the Problem of Pain. He was born in 1898. He died in 1963. And this is what he said. He said, and I was thinking about this as I what's happening in America. And he said, "Seek unity, and you will find neither unity nor truth. Seek the light of truth, and you will find unity and truth." I thought that was very appropriate for what is happening here. We need to be searching for truth. That's what we do on this show, is we search for truth and clarity as we look at these issues as freedom versus force. Force versus freedom. I'm going to jump into some of our headlines. We'll be talking about our bill of the day in the second segment with Aurora City Councilman Dave Gruber. And this is a jail population management tool, some new legislation that is coming out on that. I think I'd like to go to the new press release from the governor's office. And this came out yesterday, and it's called "The Colorado Recovery Plan is Here." And it says, "House and Senate leadership from both parties and Governor Jared Polis today announced the Colorado Recovery Plan, which will invest roughly $700 million into helping Colorado recover faster and build back stronger." Do you not find it interesting to see those words again there, Steve? Build back stronger, or build back better. Wasn't that Joe Biden's election narrative out there? And this is actually, if you do some research on this, this Build Back Better is something that's coming out of the World Economic Forum. And you can see many different leaders from across the, or I would say not leaders, politicians and bureaucrats across the globe that are using that term. And Governor Polis has issued, we asked that question yesterday, Patty sent this to us, whether or not it was Joe Biden or Jared Polis who had the most executive orders. And I need to, here we go. And let's see, she said, I had it here, Steve. Maybe you can find it for me. But right now, Polis is way ahead of Biden, but Biden's only been in office for 60 days. But Jared Polis has basically continued executive order after executive order, which has hurt our businesses, our everyday small businesses. And now they're going to infuse $700 million, they say. And, you know, they'll choose who gets it, who doesn't. And also, this big stimulus package that was passed in Washington has been a big bailout for all of the blue states that, you know, really decimated their economies. And so we're borrowing money from our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren to pay for this right now, Steve.
Before you go over to Karen, Patty says, Polis is winning the race. In 2020 alone, he signed 320 executive orders.
Okay. There's a lot going on here, Steve. And how many did Biden do?
Okay, 320 executive orders. Biden is up to 50 executive orders as of March 8th. So at the pace that Biden is going, he's going to catch him. But the point is, this is government by executive order, and that's not what we...
It's not representative government of the people. Let's jump over to Karen Levine. You know her. She's an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. She is always out there working to protect private property rights. Karen Levine, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
And what is happening with our spring selling season? Are we getting some activity going? We're expecting a big storm here the next few days. What's happening?
Well, 2021 started out really with a lot of high energy, a lot of activity, and that continues. And the spring selling season typically is April through mid-June, maybe late June in Colorado. And so here we are mid-March, and we're definitely ramping up. And sellers are thinking about selling because they feel their homes look better in the springtime. And after all this moisture we're going to supposedly get this weekend,
everything's green grass.
Super green, right? So that's going to be awesome. And as we have spoken over the weeks, inventory is so tight along the Front Range as it is throughout America, but specifically here in the Metro Denver area. And I know many sellers throughout our communities are either receiving a lot of mail marketing solicitations to get their homes on the market, or they are having knocks on their door of agents that are looking for homes to sell and claiming to have buyers to buy. And I just encourage our listeners that they want to hire a professional that can give them a clear picture of the market and to make sure that that agent is marketing for their benefit, for advocating on their behalf, and making sure they're not leaving money on the table. Because when somebody comes to your door and says they have a buyer, they are trying to avoid the competition out there, and in many cases are going to be selling your home maybe for less than the market would bear.
Okay. Quickly, Karen, is there a couple of tips that you would give to people that are thinking about getting their home ready to sell?
Well, always preparing your home takes work from the standpoint that when you sell your home, it's much different than when you're living in your home. So some of the first tips is get your home decluttered. You really want less pictures on the wall. You want less personal items throughout your home. Many people find they have to rent a roll-off because they haven't cleaned out a lot of that clutter for 20, 30 years. And people want to be able to see your home. They don't want to see how you live.
They don't want to see your stuff, huh?
Exactly. And we've become, in the real estate market, staging has become a very wonderful marketing tool, and it's very effective to showing off the attributes of your home, and I provide that as a service when you list with me.
Awesome. How can people reach you?
They can reach me at 303-877-7500.
Again, that's 303-877-7516. Karen Levine, thank you so much. You're a valued partner of both the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories. So we will talk to you next week.
That sounds great.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we have on the line with us Dave Gruber. He is a city councilman in Aurora, and he is concerned about this Senate Bill 21-062. It's the jail population management tools, because one of the jobs of our elected representatives is to try to keep our communities safe. That is one of the important responsibilities of government. And I think Dave has some concerns about this, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Dave Gruber. He is an Aurora City Councilman, and he really cares about his community, wants to keep it safe. Dave Gruber, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. Thanks for having me on.
You guys have had your hands full out there in Aurora, Dave.
Oh, we certainly have. We had the pit bull bite yesterday. The people voted not to have pit bulls. Council said, you know what, we're smarter than you. We're going to allow pit bulls back in. Yesterday, a pit bull bit a young boy, 5 years old, that the serious bites across his face. We had an incident where we put somebody who was fired from the fire department of Denver onto our civil service commission. Long story there. And we just had one thing after another.
You really have. And I think I saw in the news this weekend, I had seen a headline regarding the street racing out there. And I've actually been on I-25 and seen some cars go by really quickly. And I'm thinking, really, not quickly, fast. I'm thinking, what is that? And then that has been something that's been happening out there in Aurora as well. And I guess there was a big to-do about that this weekend, yes?
You're right. So the police reported we had over 600 cars racing on 225. So what they do is they block the ability to get onto the interstate. Then they stop so that no traffic can be on the interstate, and then they race. And they've done it in such a way that the police can't get onto the interstate to arrest the people that are racing. Other incidents where they go into the parking lots of warehouses, do donuts, things like that, and have big parties, launch fireworks. Some are carrying weapons. Councilmember Francois Bergen is introducing a ordinance that would allow the police to impound the cars. That hadn't gone through yet, but that's causing a lot of controversy. As a matter of fact, even that we had discussed that at our public safety meeting, Francois' potential ordinance, and a week later is when we had that giant raise. So I think that we got their attention, and they're showing us how powerful they are and how little respect they have for the law.
Well, and little respect for, let's say, somebody needed to get out to the airport or they had an emergency by shutting down the road or I-225. That really makes it inconvenient for everyday people. It could make it dangerous. So now are you head of the Public Safety Committee there in Aurora, Dave?
Yes, I am. It's a three-person committee. I sit on it with Council Member Marsha Bergens and Curtis Gardner.
And this new piece of legislation, Senate Bill 21-062, it's called the Jail Population Management Tools. You've got some concerns about this, as well as I see that law enforcement did as well. There were 7.5 hours of testimony on this. It passed out of committee 3-2 along party lines. But why are you concerned, Dave?
We have had a crime explosion within the city of Aurora. Our murders just last year, from 2019 to 2020, our murders are up 39%. Oh. We've had 11 more murders. Our sex assaults are down, of course, with COVID. But aggravated assault is up 33%. Motor vehicle thefts are up 70%.
Wow.
And burglaries are up almost 9%. So we've had a significant increase in crime, and a lot of it has to do with COVID. the fact that the police are not arresting, the fact that the perpetrators of the crime understand that the probability of going to jail is low, and the fact that they can simply make one crime after another, and that's not good for the people of Aurora.
It isn't. And no matter what your descriptor is, race, gender, identity, any of those things, when you have a community with these kinds of increases in crime, it's across the spectrum. And I know with you and your colleagues on the Public Safety Committee is you want to keep all people safe in Aurora. And by my understanding, this Senate Bill 21062 is actually going to it's not reducing crime. It's just reducing putting criminals into jail, correct?
Correct. Now, the bill has been modified a couple of times already. So they've changed the title of it to safely reduce jail populations by amending procedures prior to conviction. Again, there's a lot of double talk. The bill right now is only 9 pages, but it makes 3 fundamental changes to the way policing will occur in the state of Colorado. The first is that it will prevent the officer from arresting people that are involved in crime, to include misdemeanors and class 4, 5, and 6 felonies and level 3 and 4 drug felonies. That means that if a police officer catches somebody for stealing a car, say, the police officer will only be able to write a ticket. He will not be able to arrest the person who stole the car. So, again, I caught you stealing this car. I'm going to write you a ticket. Have a nice day. I hope you don't steal one tomorrow. There's exceptions on there about whether or not they can identify the person, you know, whether he's given a true name and stuff like that. But the primary idea of it is that we will not be able to arrest people who are making these crimes, who are committing these crimes. So that's the first major part of the legislation. The second major part of the legislation is that when you go to court, the court will not be able to impose a monetary bond. So everything will be a personal reconnaissance bond. So again, if you don't show up to court, we're going to give you another personal reconnaissance bond. You promise you're going to come back next time, right? Oh yeah, I promise I'll come back next time. And then the third time. And I think at the fourth time, then they say, okay, now we can give you, now we can really inflict something on you, either a monetary bond or put you in jail. But that's after 3. Then the final major part of it is that it prevents sheriffs from allowing or from permitting people to be entered into a jail unless there are very specific crimes. So even if a judge says, okay, this guy, first off, we found that he stole a car. Then we found he stole another car, you know, so long as you're on the street, so long as a criminal is on the street, they're going to steal car after car after car because the probability of them being caught is not very high, first off. And then when they are caught, all they're going to be doing, all that will happen is they'll get a ticket. Then what happens if they go to court? And again, they could choose not to go to court and police have to go find them. But if they go to court, you know, all they're going to get is a bond, and as opposed to a jail sentence. And then finally, even if they are given a jail sentence, you know, after repeated visits to the court, if they are given a jail sentence and they go to the sheriff and the sheriff goes, oh, sorry, I'm not allowed to let you into the jail because we want to reduce jail population. So that sounds very good if you believe that every person is honest to their core, you know, God-fearing and respects the rules of society. But some people don't, and some people are very dangerous, and some people should not be on the street, and some people should be taken off the street so they don't steal a car tomorrow like they stole a car today. And that's our primary concerns with the legislation.
Well, it's interesting. I actually was talking, this was several months ago, a young woman that I know, a single mom, and she was late for work. And I said, well, what happened? She said, somebody stole my car. And so she needed to figure out alternative ways to get to work. It really affected her life. It affected how she could get her kids where they needed to go. So, Dave, I find this absolutely mind-boggling that in this case, criminals, I mean, one of the things about America is the respect for property rights, private property rights. So if somebody's stealing somebody else's car, they clearly don't have regard for the property rights of that person. And so this legislation is not protecting the property rights nor the safety of the general population, it is actually, it looks like it is emboldening criminal behavior. And that's going to make our communities less and less safe. What's your final thoughts on this, Dave? It's passed out a committee. What to do on this?
Kim, you were exactly right. The primary responsibility, the primary role of government is to provide public safety. In this case, we're going against that. We're providing safety for the people that are actually breaking the laws. That's misguided. I think we have to, I think that your listeners need to let their legislators know this is not okay. We want you to protect us. We don't want you to protect the criminals. Please take care of us.
Okay, so reaching out to our legislators. So this is in the Senate right now. So reach out to your senators on this, correct, Dave?
Well, it'll be both because, it goes through the Senate, then it'll be negotiated at the House as well. But reach out to all of them and say this is not okay. We do not want. And again, the title of it is Senate Bill 2162, and the new name of it is Safely Reduce Jail Populations by Amending Procedures Prior to Conviction.
And you just mentioned doublespeak, safely reduce jail populations. So people like the word safely, but it's anything but safe for everyday hardworking people. Dave Gruber, thank you so much for joining us, and keep us in the loop on these important things. And thank you. I served on City Council for 4 years, and it's an important job. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Kim. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. And Jason McBride, Senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management. I am very concerned about the safety of our communities, Jason.
Well, there seems to be less and less concern about safety of the citizens and more concern about not hurting any of the criminals' feelings. And that's been going on pretty strong now since, about Memorial Day of last year is, I think, when this kind of stuff really went into high gear. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I think so. And it's so interesting, though, Jason. Carol Levine was talking about clutter. I have clutter that I'm going through. And I actually found a newspaper article. This was probably in 2016 that I'd pulled out, and it was about Black Lives Matter. And I'm like, they have been working on all this. It didn't just happen. None of this stuff just happened. This was all percolating underneath the surface. And then, things really, really ramped up, like you mentioned, last Memorial Day with what happened in Minneapolis with George Floyd, which was tragic. And I want to say every life matters. But what's so frustrating, Jason, is how the radical, regressive activist left has taken things that people care about, and then they've actually used it for their political benefit. And so if you go to Black Lives Matter, now I haven't done it for several weeks or whatever, but if you go to Black Lives Matter and you hit donate, it goes to Act Blue, which is the big fundraising arm of the Democrat Party. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to connect the dot that this is really about a political movement. It's a political Marxist movement that we see occurring there. But anyway, let's jump over here to the markets. What's happening there?
Well, yesterday was kind of a mixed day again, Kim. The Dow performed very well. It was up 450 points.
Wow.
Made a new all-time high. Volume picked up a little bit, which is, that's what you want to see is a little bit higher volume on the up days. And then now NASDAQ, though, ended up down 5 points. But the volume was lower. So we've been seeing a lot of this lately, Kim, where like the Dow is up and the S&P is up, but the NASDAQ is down, or vice versa. NASDAQ got back up to its 50-day moving average almost, and then got turned back down. So the Dow's making new all-time highs, and NASDAQ looks a little bit rough here. Maybe not out of the woods yet, and I've mentioned this before, it always kind of befuddles me, but the small caps also made a new all-time high, and for some reason, I've never been able to figure out, a lot of times the small cap stocks, they behave more like the Dow than they do like the NASDAQ, which, it just kind of messes with my head, because the Dow is great, big, huge blue chips. Small caps are smaller, growth companies, maybe higher risk, and I can't figure out why do those, the Dow and the smaller caps, seem to go in lockstep so often because they're polar opposites.
That is. That's really fascinating. And, Jason, the other day you mentioned that one of our listeners had reached out to meet with you regarding their own individual economic prosperity, their economic portfolio, and they said they wanted somebody with gray hair. You've been through a lot of these different ups and downs, and you have a few gray hairs, so you are really a guy to sit down and talk with regarding people's own economic prosperity.
Well, we'll say the gray hairs are experience, but I feel like there's still always a lot to learn. But yes, definitely some experience, and I think we can be of great help to folks that are wondering what to do right now because the market's so high. I mean, you're scared to be in it, and then you're scared
to be out
because it keeps going up. There are solutions to that problem that are actually, I think, pretty interesting, pretty exciting, and I'd love to speak to more listeners about them and see what they think. So folks can give us a call for a review, no high pressure, anything like that, just to kind of see if we have an idea they might find that would be helpful to them. Give us a call, 303-694-1600, Kim. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show.
And we're going to go to break. When we come back, my friend Reggie Carr is on the line with me. I wanted to talk with him about all of this, these criminal legislation things that are going through, because I think that many times those that are pushing them through are using the narrative of pushing them through because of racism, a variety of things, and really want to get Reggie's perspective on this, so stay tuned.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is my friend Reggie Carr. And we became friends during this last election cycle. He has been in the entertainment business, the music entertainment business, for many years, writing, producing, and a very creative guy. And he was getting tired of sending products over, like CDs, to be made in China, and having their intellectual, he and his business partner, Johnny Thomas, their intellectual property stolen. And so when he heard a candidate talking about intellectual property rights, he said, "That's my guy." And it was Donald Trump. And Reggie Carr stepped forward. He put $100,000 of his own money into buying a 45-foot bus, wrapped it with "I'm a Trumpster," and has been taking that into ethnic communities to help people understand that your economic prosperity doesn't come from government. It comes from a free society where you have economic and political freedom. Reggie Carr, welcome to the show.
Kim the Great, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Reggie, first of all, tell us what you're doing now, because Joe Biden's been in office. It'll soon be about 60 days. It's just remarkable what is happening to our country. and I'm very concerned about it. But what's going on in your life right now, Reggie?
Well, I'm doing a lot of music production, video production, getting everything ready for the IMA movement. I'm a super PAC. I'm a Trumpster. Term me orange. All of that is, you know, activism. So we've been preparing for that. Of course, you know, there's a special announcement coming up in reference to, and I guess we'll break that on your show.
Okay.
What we're doing, but yeah, just staying busy, getting ready, and engaged in this fight. It's a big one.
It really is, Reggie. It's almost been like a shock and awe. They have come in and passed all kinds of terrible pieces of legislation that negates and dilutes our votes and keeping our community safe. But there's a piece of legislation going through, and they've named it after George Floyd, so all kinds of political theater here on that. But you and I had a conversation. I kind of want to talk bigger picture, because they're passing all these things many times using the term racism, when in essence, when a community isn't safe, it doesn't really see color. It a victim is a victim. And I remember you and I were talking about the no cash bail thing out in, I think it was L.A. at the time, and you were just beside yourself on that.
Oh yeah, Kim. Let me break this down. Okay, so I believe it was, his name was George Gaskin, I believe, and his directive, he wrote a directive to all his deputy district attorneys, and none of these crimes will be prosecuted. There will be declined for prosecution. So being a minority, I'm wondering, like, how is that helping my people or my neighborhood or anything like that? Because it's not. If you ever know, if you walk down L.A. in the hood or even in low-income areas, that if you're wearing the wrong color, you can be killed. You know, and this is not an exaggeration. This is the truth. I tell people a lot of times, like, you know, it's not the police killing black people. It's black people killing black people. You could be a person of different origin or ethnicity, say a white guy, and go down those same neighborhoods and be completely safe. But if I go down the neighborhood and I'm wearing the wrong color, I can be killed. So I'm wondering, like, who came up with these laws? Like, there, one is trespassing. Okay, so they're not going to prosecute trespassing, disturbing the peace, driving without a license. So if trespassing, so if you're on my property, you're trespassing. You're not. What do I do? How do I get rid of you? You're not going to prosecute this person, disturbing the peace. It is what it is. That's causing a ruckus. So they're not going to prosecute that. Then driving without a license. What kind of message is that sending? So if you're driving without a license, that means you have no insurance. If you have no insurance, how is the public and the community safe? If you hit somebody and run, and so they're not going to prosecute that. Okay, prostitution is one of them. Okay, that's bad, but it's one of the lesser crimes on here. Criminal threats. Okay, I go through this every day, even with I'm a Trumpster here. You know, we go out in the neighborhoods and people screaming and cussing and making threats and all kind of stuff like that. Okay, but they're not going to prosecute that. Drug possession? Are you serious? They're not going to prosecute that. So what does that tell me? What does that tell people? And all these things combined together, a minor with alcohol. So, okay, you're not going to prosecute. What deterrence is that for your kids, that, you know, not to drink and to, you know, not have them in a situation where their life is, you know, being altered or going down the wrong path. There's no consequence. That's idiotic. Then drinking in public. You're drinking in public. Okay, that's bad. But okay, but then you turn around and say you're not going to prosecute that or public intoxication. So it doesn't make. And then lottery. These are all laws you're not going to prosecute. Then you turn around behind all of that, resisting arrest. So you can be drunk. You can be in the lottery, you could be trespassing and all of that stuff, and then resisting arrest is not going to be a crime either, a prosecutable crime as well. And then I think the last one on there was under the influence of a controlled substance. So when I look at this list and I study this list, this spells doom in my community. This is doom. That tells me that the criminal has complete power to do what they want to do, and not have any consequences for their actions. And that's so dangerous. And nobody in that knows what I know, that's been in these type of situations or communities, they don't want this. How did this get there? How was this even on the books? This is completely idiotic, and it's very dangerous.
Well, and Reggie, many of these people, these radical, regressive activists that have taken over the Democrat Party that's passing this kind of legislation, they live in big houses behind fences and gates with armed guards. And and it's unconscionable. I'm thinking, what if I am a mom in the inner city? And I know that, and we're getting into, let's say Chicago. We know that Chicago is almost a killing field during the summer, during the warm weather. And it's, as you mentioned, it's black on black killing each other. Where is the, first of all, the outrage on that? But if I were a mom, I would be terrified as weekends would roll around, just thinking that my kids may not come home safely, Reggie.
Well, truthfully, Kim, you hit it right on the nose. Chicago, L.A., all these cities are mainly minorities. You go into Chicago. They made a movie about Chicago. They called it Chi-Rack. That's how many deaths be in Chicago. And I believe it was I forget the little black producer that does movies. I forget his name, but he's the one that did the movie called Chi-Rack. So that would tell you exactly what goes on in Chicago. And I know I've been through that state, through that city. It is terrible, horrible. And I just want to know how these bills and these people are being put in offices to do this, because this is not helping us. This is doomsday right here. How do you stop something where you can't call the police when somebody's criminally threatening you, when somebody's trespassing on your property, you know, when somebody's under the influence of a controlled substance, you know, and then resisting arrest? How are the good guys being protected? They're not.
It really is. It's so dangerous, Reggie, for our communities. And I want to continue to get your perspective. And I want to go to break because I also want to talk about looking into the future. It is a bit daunting with all of this. It's crazyville almost that's coming out of both the Colorado State House and Washington, D.C. But the great thing about it, Reggie, is you're not giving up. So let's talk about a little bit more about this when we come back, and then also what you're doing. Before we do that, though, a couple of my great sponsors. Hooters Restaurants is a great sponsor. And actually, the girls were over last night, and we had some of their smoked wings. This lemon rub is super, super good. And I'm going to be posting it on my website later today, all of the March specials, March Madness. So be sure and check that out. But love those wings. They have specials, all kinds of specials. Wednesday is Wings Day. You buy 20 wings to go or dine in. You get 10 for free. And there's 5 locations, Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. So go to my website and click on my sponsors tab. And when that drops down, of course, click on Hooters. It'll have all the specials there. And then Castlegate Knife and Tool, another one of my great sponsors. And I got this great utility knife. You need that great tool around the house, whether or not you need to cut some foam board or whatever it is. But Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to get the right tool for your toolbox. And they're a locally owned, family-owned business right here in Sedalia, Colorado. So go to castlegate.com for more information there. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Reggie Carr.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can email me at Kim at KimMunson.com as well. On the line with me is Reggie Carr. He and his business partner, Johnny Thomas, founded I'm a Trumpster during this last election cycle. And Reggie purchased with his own money a 45-foot bus. The grassroots helped get that bus wrapped with the I'm a Trumpster message. It has taken it into ethnic communities to start to change hearts and minds, to start to understand that this Democrat vision for people's lives of dependency and division does not really allow people to thrive and prosper, that it is economic and political freedom that have done the conservative message, conserving this idea that all men are created by God, all men are created equal by God with these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Reggie, you are committed to bring that message to everyday people so that they understand that. How are you going to do that?
Well, the first thing is you have to build bridges. And so you have to figure out a way to reach the community. We're all different cultures. So, you know, you have to understand how to talk, how to walk the walk, talk the talk to the culture that you're trying to get to listen. And so that bus is a major part of it. You know, that's just a moving billboard, and it shows, you know, kids, and it shows everybody in the community that, you know, we support, you know, the conservative message. And then we just go with flyers, the website, and then we talk face to face, and we let them know, you know, this is what you should do, I believe, and this is what's happened for me, and this is a better path. And mostly when you get out there and you talk to people, they don't even realize, you know, just how many things that President Trump has even did for the minority. They have no idea. And so I know that's the political end, that's the media end that's trying to, you know, subdue and suppress the message. So we have to get out there face to face and do it. And we have to do it every day, and it has to be done not just around election time. It needs to be an everyday thing.
Absolutely.
You know, until... And that message has to be out there. And it's a brave thing to do, Kim, because it's not 100% safe. It's definitely a brave thing to do, but it's a necessary thing to do.
Well, it is a necessary thing to do. And Reggie, I think you and I both have been on a journey here trying to figure out how to inform people and help them understand the conservative message is the end. And we've been in the battle of words, the battle of narrative. And I would encourage you to not refer to the Democrat Party as Democratic, because there's really, I would say, nothing Democratic about it, except maybe the mob rule component of Democratic. But refer to that as Democrat. And then conservative, that word has been marginalized, if you will. And we need to take back the narrative because conserve, people think it's a good thing to conserve energy, to conserve water, conserve. Conservative, in political terms, means to conserve, again, this idea that all men are created equal by God with these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. It's the foundation of the American idea. Granted, we haven't gotten it perfect, and the radical, regressive activist left uses our faults and never talks about the great things about the conservative message. And Reggie, you're so right that we need to be moving that message out immediately. I wanted to go back just a little bit to safety, though. You have been so concerned about all this legislation that seems to be pro-criminal and anti-victim. And regarding property rights, people can get on your property. You can't get rid of them. They can't be arrested. I mean, that's not a good society. But you and I were also talking about this piece of legislation here in Colorado And they, Colorado's the petri dish. They try it here, and then they export it. This bad voting law, they've been doing that here in Colorado for a long time. Now they want to do that nationally. But the Senate bill, let's see, it is 21-132, this digital communications regulation. Reggie, you and I are in that arena of digital communications. And in this, if you do not register and you're doing digital communications in Colorado and pay a fee, it could actually be, you could be, it's a class two misdemeanor punishable by a fine of up to $5,000 for each day the violation continues. So Reggie, over here on one side, somebody that's committing crimes against property and you can't arrest them, but you and I that's just trying to get the truth out there, we could convicted of a class two misdemeanor and have to pay $5,000 a day. This is Crazyville, Reggie.
How did that bill originate? Where did it come from? Because this, that's ridiculous, and that's above my pay grade. That's for somebody like you, Kim. You know, I got the fact, but we got to do something about that. I mean, that's, so you're telling me all these other severe, serious crimes, property, murder, all kind of things that go on in that realm is not, you can't get prosecuted for that at all. But this digital bill that you're talking about, now you can get up to $5,000. That's what you're telling me?
A day. And that is just by exercising our First Amendment rights of freedom of speech. Unbelievable.
Wow.
So, Reggie, we're about out of time. But I hope people are understanding how important it is to support people like you that's out there exercising your free speech. And actually, ABC National rented a national news. They rented a ballroom out here at the Aurora Hyatt. This was a few weeks ago. And they interviewed you for an hour. And I actually was there, and you understand the principles of America so well. You sounded like a founding father to me. And what's interesting is the mainstream media, you've been on CBS, ABC a couple of times, Hulu, Black Entertainment Television. The left realizes what a powerful voice you are, but you're not getting support really from establishment Republicans. And the left has said, why don't you come over to our side? And you've said no. And they said, well, then you need to get in front of Trump. And so we're trying to get you in front of Trump. And I've got a little plan. People ask me what they could do. I would ask that people write President Trump and ask that you have a personal meeting with him so that you can present what you're doing and hopefully come to partner with him from some kind of a financial standpoint. What do you think of that plan, Reggie?
That would be great. That's a great plan, Kim. If we can get everybody to write that letter and strength is in numbers. So if we could get, you know, just tons of people writing in about what I'm doing and the cause, what we're doing, and we get in front of President Trump, I know that's exactly what we need. Because, you know, he's not going anywhere. That's a very smart man, very strong, and he has plans. And I want to be, when he sees what we're doing, I know he's going to want us a part of his team, because he rewards loyalty, and we're definitely loyal to his message.
Well, and so I'm going to, and what we'll do is we'll put this in the show recap tomorrow. That'll be on my website, and you'll just click on the picture of the show, and then we'll have a recap there. So we'll have that there. But if you are not driving and want to write this down, you would send this to President Donald J. Trump, care of Mar-a-Lago Club, 1100 South Ocean Boulevard, Palm Beach, Florida, 33480. But I will have that in the recap tomorrow. So sit down and write this. Let's see if we can make this happen, to make this meeting between Reggie and Donald Trump happen. Reggie, we've got a minute left. What would you like to say, kind of the final thought today for our listeners?
Pay attention to what's going on. Especially with what the left is doing, it's crucial that we team up and we prepare for this battle, and we get you know, in front of these people from a legislative standpoint and face-to-face, because there's a lot of things going on that's not good for minorities or Americans, period, and we have to stick together. We got to grow this base, and so we can take back, like, you know, the elections. Like the chair, I support Casper Stockman. I think he'd be a great person for that, but that's the beginning. I think we need to just come together and with some new blood and actually get into the roots and make this done, because they're on the offensive and we have to go on the offensive too to take our country back.
Absolutely. Reggie Carr, if people want to help you out financially, where should they go?
They can go to imatrumpster.com, and they can go to imasuperpac.com. And they can donate at either one of those outlets.
Okay. Reggie Carr, thank you so much. And I would encourage everybody to write a letter, and we'll give you some writing points on that as well. Reggie, thank you so much. You have a great day.
You too. Nice talking.
Our quote for today is from C.S. Lewis. He says, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Tell them if I don't say